If you're into raw, unfiltered discussions about a peek into my everyday life as a female entrepreneur, well, this episode is for you. I am opening up the diary that is my life and letting you guys ask me anything about business, life, personal, motherhood, and everything in between. I even dive into what my most recent purchase was. I have a feeling you guys are going to love this one, but full disclosure, it's a little bit long. So grab your coffee, pull up a chair, get comfortable, and let's do this.
Hey there, I'm Amanda, a Southern mama with big city sensibilities. I'm the girl that took a daydream and built a profitable virtual assistant business all in the middle of a global pandemic. Now, I work from home alongside some of the biggest bloggers and influencers while running a six-figure online business. I'm taking you along for the ride as we dive into business, marketing, strategy, and real life as a female entrepreneur. I'm all about simple, easy, actionable steps that get real results. This podcast is for the dreamers, the doers, and the go-getters. So let's kick imposter syndrome together and pull back the curtain on how to actually make money online. Get ready as we dig in, do the work, and tackle those big dreams I know you've been dreaming up. This is the Bold Business Podcast. Welcome to another episode of the Bold Business Podcast. I'm so excited about today's episode. It's a little bit different than what we normally do. I gave you guys the opportunity on Instagram and if you're on our email list and in our Facebook group to be able to submit questions to yours truly. And we have gathered all those questions and broken them up into three different categories for an Ask Me Anything episode. The first category, of course, is going to be centered all around business. The next category is going to be personal. And then there's a random category. And then we're going to do a few rapid fire questions at the end. And in full disclosure, I have not looked at all of the questions on this list. So you guys are going to be getting my real and raw answers. And if they're a little unpolished, that is why. Okay, so I'm just going to dive right in. I literally have this list of questions in a Word doc in front of me. So here goes. Okay, the first question under the business category is, how do you plan to stay consistent in your business after baby comes? Oh my gosh, this is such a good question. And I don't have a solid answer for this, if I'm being completely honest, only because when I had Beckham, which is my son that I have now, he's two, I was still working my corporate job. So when I had Beckham, the company gave us 12-week maternity leave. And then if you wanted to stack any vacation time on top of that or anything else, you could do so. And 10 out of those 12 weeks were paid. And then 2 just sort of fell under that FMLA. So they could be unpaid. Or if you had short-term disability, then you could use that income to sort of cover those 2 weeks. Which short-term disability doesn't cover 100% of your pay. So anyways, I took 12 weeks and then I ended up going back with him and I was actually just working, I think I was working I want to say 4 days a week. Yeah, it's all a little blurry because it's been so long. And then shortly after that, I started the business and here we are now. So this will be the first time that I have juggled a little one and running a business. But I will say the plan as is, and I've sort of been prepping things on the back end leading up to this. That's part of the reason why this year I put such a big focus on hiring my team and getting them really comfortable in their roles and what their daily, weekly, and monthly tasks look like. And they have done amazing, and I'm so thankful for them. And I feel like even just being able to lean on them so much in the first trimester when I was really sick and wasn't able to do my normal 120% that I am used to, they really picked up the slack, and I'm so thankful for that. So I have no doubt in my mind that they'll be able to continue to do what they're doing now while, you know, baby comes. I won't be taking a traditional leave where I'll be 100% checked out from the business. I think if we ever have a third baby in the future, I will definitely make that a priority. But we're still a very young company, and I still have my hand in so many different things that I'm not exactly sure that that would be possible at this point in our business, just in full transparency. However, I will be taking a step back from a lot of like the client work, and I'll really just be focusing on growing and scaling the business. So what that means is a lot more delegating, a lot more responsibility on the team, creating a lot more systems in place. And then we've actually been working behind the scenes to start batching some content. We actually started this month so that we can work ahead, so that come March when the baby is due, all the content is already done for our business, so that we're not stressing out about producing things in the moment while I'm on maternity leave. And then once baby does come, my husband, he still works a normal corporate job, and his company gives him 4 weeks paternity leave. So he's planning on taking advantage of that and really supporting me during that first month so that I can get my grounding with everything. And then I'm also super blessed because I have family close by. So my mom and my sister live right up the street, and I have a feeling they're going to be a huge help. And I'm sure as baby gets older, we might look into help 1 or 2 days a week or something along those lines. We haven't exactly nailed it down, but at this point, we're kind of trying to go with the flow a little bit. I mean, I think back to when Beckham was an infant, and I think it's funny because I don't think I realized how much infants sleep, not consecutively, like overnight, but throughout the day. There really is a lot of downtime. So I'm kind of planning on taking advantage of sneaking in a little bit of work during that time without sacrificing like those baby snuggles. So it'll be interesting, and I will keep you guys posted. And I don't think that that was a very good answer to your question, but that is the honest truth. So what does work from home life look like now with a little one? That is our next question. And the answer to that is I used to, when I first started the business, wake up very early in the morning, or I would work very late at night, and I was basically a full-time stay-at-home mom, but also a full-time business owner. And that worked for a while until it basically didn't anymore. I think for me, it was just, I hit sort of a point of exhaustion where I was like, okay, something's got to give. Like, I can't keep burning the candles from both ends. Like, I need some semblance of work-life balance. And it's not fair to my kid that I'm getting frustrated with him in the middle of the day because he wants to play and I'm like trying to answer an email. So we made the decision to put him in a private school that's very close to our house. And he goes there during the week. And while he's at school, those are my designated working hours so that I can still spend time with him in the mornings. And we get up and we have slow mornings and we make breakfast together and coffee and we hang out and we read books. And he's always the last one to school, and I love that. And he's usually the first one to be picked up. Josh, he swings by and gets him off of work on his way home. And he loves that because if you have ever dropped your kid off somewhere and you know that feeling, like when you go to pick them up and they're so excited to see you, that's the best feeling in the world. So he gets to have that feeling every day when he picks him up from school. And that works out really well for me because I get a little notification on my phone that says Beckham's been picked up from school. And that's sort of like my 5-minute warning that it's time to wrap up work and they're about to be walking through the door any second. And that's usually when I get dinner started. And then we have family time and bath time and we hang out. And then once he goes down for bed, usually around like 7:30, then Josh and I are able to spend like an hour or two together. Sometimes I'll crack open the laptop if there's stuff that I want to work on in the business. But as far as client work goes, I have been a lot more intentional about trying to work within those designated working hours. I think it's healthy for myself and also for my clients. I want them to have an semblance of work-life balance too. And if I'm, you know, texting them and emailing them and asking them questions at 9 o'clock at night, that doesn't give them that same respect that I want for myself. So that is what working from home with a little one looks like at the moment. Okay, our next question is, do you have help with your toddler? So I sort of already answered that question, yes. And if somebody is online pretending like they're doing all the things and that they don't have help, it's probably false. Most people have some form of help. I'm not really sure how you could run a profitable business and also not have help in some capacity with a little one. And I think it's 100% okay to admit that we need help. And I think more people should say that they need help because that is a reality. But I also want to emphasize that you can 100% be a virtual assistant and work from home with babies and with toddlers. It's just going to, your workday is going to look a little bit different. My team members do this. I have a team member. She has two little ones and she's my like early riser. So I will see tasks being checked off at like 6 a.m. And I know it's because she's waking up and getting her work done early in the morning before the kids get up so that she can have that focus time with them throughout the day. And that's perfect. And that's what works for her. And she does an amazing job with her workload and balancing the children. But again, she has to make that sacrifice, which probably means she has to get to bed a little bit earlier so that she can wake up in the morning and do that with them. And then I also want to emphasize too, you know, my situation looks a little bit different because I'm running an entire business with a team. If you're a solopreneur, when I was first starting out and just had a few clients and I wasn't managing things at the scale that I am now, it was 100% doable to be able to actually juggle and balance successfully working from home and a toddler. It was really just working during nap time, leaning on family members. If they offered to babysit, I would always take them up on that and be like, yes, even if you could just take them for a few hours. And I was really focused and intentional about how I spent that time. So I wasn't on social media scrolling. I had my to-do list. I knew exactly what I needed to get done and how long it was going to take me. And I knocked those things out as quickly as possible during those time frames. And I think truthfully that right there is part of what has made me so efficient and successful now. And I still structure my days the same way. So I still have we use ClickUp for all of our tasks. So everything goes into ClickUp. I use Google Calendar for my own personal stuff. So everything from remembering what bills to pay to things I need to get done within the business to things I need to do for clients, meetings, anything like that, that all goes into Google Calendar. And then I block it out throughout the day. So if I know my working hours are from 10 to 4, okay, I have 6 hours, let's minus 30 minutes to eat some lunch. And I know exactly what I'm going to be doing and when I'm going to be doing it. And I assign myself time slots so that I can make sure I'm staying on track for my day. And that is how I'm able to get all the things done that I need to get done and also still be able to hold those balanced work-life boundaries that are, I believe, are so important. Because if you don't have those boundaries, I feel like everything just sort of slips into each other and then you just feel chaotic and messy. And especially when you're working from home, you're going to know what's best for you and your family. But I think creating those healthy boundaries is always, always, always a good idea. Okay, our next question is, what is your best daily habit? Oh my gosh, this is such a good question. And also, I feel like it's simple, but it's also hard at the same time because I feel like I have more than one daily habit that I would recommend. I think if you haven't listened to our bonus episode, I would go back and listen to it now about gratitude. But one of the things that I talk about, and this is a huge mindset thing, and it seriously only takes a few seconds out of your day. I try to do this almost every single day. Even if I don't write it down, I make it a point to think about it and to take a second and just let it marinate, even if it's while I'm brushing my teeth or putting on my makeup in the morning or something like that. But I always, always, always think about three things that I'm grateful for. And I also, I don't think I mentioned this in the gratitude episode, but I also think about my goals and what am I doing today in order to achieve those goals. And I think about this a lot, even like when I'm driving around town or grabbing coffee or whatever, like I feel like my brain is always going. And these are some of the things that I do to sort of train my mind, one, for positivity and gratitude, but two, to always be forward thinking. So I pick three small things that I'm grateful for. It could be that Beckham ran up to me and gave me a hug out of nowhere and it just melted my heart, or maybe he said something really cute, or literally yesterday I was in my office, I was working on some blog posts for January, and it was while Beckham was down napping and my husband went to run a few errands and he came back and he brought me a coffee, and that was like something that just melted my heart because I didn't ask him to, and I know the line at Starbucks is always crazy on Saturdays. I was so appreciative of him, and it was like one of those festive Starbucks drinks, which are always the best. So that was something. And those are the types of things that I like to think of, just really small things that you can root your gratitude in. Of course, I'm thankful for the big things like having our health and our family close by and our house and the fact that we have a new baby on the way. Like, those are all amazing things. But I really try to think about like the day to day of what's something small that I can be thankful for, because when you root your mind in gratitude like that, it really teaches you to look for the positive. And then when something is thrown at you that's maybe not ideal, it's almost like you're like, you know what? It's okay. I've got this. And you don't have that freak out moment. Or if you do, it's not nearly as grand and large as it might be. And I also like to think about what our goals are, just in life as a family and personally and in our marriage and in the business, pretty frequently, because I like to make sure that I'm taking steps in the right direction to actually make sure that I'm achieving those. So what's one small thing that I can do today to take a step in the right direction for where I see the business going a year from now? Or what's something I can do to prepare for maternity leave and things like that, so that I'm not stressed out down the road about trying to make these things happen. Our next question is, I am just starting out and I don't have a huge budget. What are your top free tools that you recommend? Oh, this is such a good one. I have a lot. My number one free tool that we use in our business every single day is Toggle, and it's T-O-G-G-L, no E at the end. And that is a time tracking tool. And I myself use this and my entire team uses it. And basically, you just pull up a tab on your computer, and it's one of the best ways that you can not only, so we use it for a couple of different things. One, you can use it to bill your clients if you have hourly clients. You can also use it as a summary to be able to show everything that you worked on and how much you worked on it. I like to use it for those things, obviously, but my favorite thing to use it on is to really see how long it takes me to do things. This helps me plan out my calendar. It also helps me in delegating tasks to the team if I know approximately how long it takes them to complete a blog post versus scheduling out like note posts and things like that. then I can make sure that I'm not overloading them 1 week, or they have ample amount of time to get things done ahead of time before a due date and things like that. So it's really great too if you're wanting to audit your business. And we're going to do a whole episode about auditing your business in January, which will come at like perfect timing. I'm really excited for it. I like to do this about every month, but I do this on a much larger scale, obviously, at the end of each year. I love to dig through Toggle, not necessarily to like be like, oh, how long did she spend on this and why did it take her so long, but to really get an understanding of the amount of time that's going into each client and why it's going into them, and is that linked to results, and making sure that the time invested matches the revenue generated for each task. And some of that's harder to track than others, but some of it you can see a direct correlation, and I think that's super helpful. So that is my number one recommended tool, especially for a virtual assistant, is time tracking. And I love it because you have to type in what you're working on. And I sometimes have an ADD brain where I will think of something and then I'll pull up another tab and I'll start to work on that. And I know I will catch myself doing this. I'm like, nope, not doing that because timer is running for this other task and I don't want to change the task 50 times throughout the day. So I'm just going to focus on this one task until I complete it. And then when I'm done with that, I will then move on to this other task that I just thought of. And it really helps my ADD brain stay focused and on track, which also helps with my productivity. And it makes sure that we bill our clients accurately. The next free tool that I am a huge fan of is ClickUp. I mentioned this earlier in the episode. There is a paid version that you can move to, but the free version is so robust. If you're just starting out, you probably don't even need to think about the paid version. Once you hit like 10K months as a business owner, I would say probably move to the paid version because it unlocks some really cool features. But in the beginning, the free version is perfect. I love it because it integrates with Google Calendar, which is another free tool that I highly recommend. And you can sync it to where your Google Calendar shows up within your ClickUp, and then you can like create tasks from there for yourself. You can also use email to in order to like email tasks over to ClickUp, and then it will create it. You can see things in like a list view, a board view, a calendar view. There's mind mapping. You can also have Google Docs in there. The way that we have it set up is it's basically like the house for all of our information in our business. It has SOPs in there. It has all of our client profiles so that if a team member is wondering, oh, what's the exact hex color for the branding of this client, they can literally go to ClickUp, pull up their brand file, and pull up their brand profile, and then it will have that information there. Or if they're like, oh, what was that trick that Amanda told me with linking things with reward style, they can go to the reward style folder and find that video and watch it really quick. And it makes it so that everything's all in one place. And it also eliminates a lot of back and forth and me saving things on my computer and having things in Google Drive and Dropbox and like all these other places. So it is truly amazing and I love it. Another free tool that I use in our business a lot is Loom, and that's Loom. That is a video recording software. There's a free version and then there's also a paid version if you need to make long form videos. We have the paid version and I love it. But when I was first starting out, I just used the free version. I use it for a couple different things. One, it's great if you're responding to clients and need to explain things like on your screen or face to face or something like that. If it comes a point where you do have a team underneath you, this is really great for creating SOPs in your business so you can screen record how you're doing things as you're doing them so that you can then create an SOP around that task or system in your business. And then you can just file the Loom video under that client's folder and then share it with your team. And it's just awesome. And then we also use this to record videos for our course because there is a screen recording option where you can screen record and also see yourself, or you can just screen record, or you can just have the it camera facing to you. And I love all the different functionalities of it, and it's super easy to be able to just record it. It has like some editing capabilities that I wouldn't say the editing capabilities are amazing, but that wasn't a huge selling point for us because most of our videos are just sort of real, raw, us talking through things. It doesn't need to be 100% polished. So for us, that wasn't a huge thing. If you are wanting to give that a try, they have a free version and you can record as many videos as you want. I think it's under 5 minutes. And then if you want long form videos, I think it moves to a paid plan, but I can't remember what the paid plan is. Another free tool that is great if you're just starting out and you're looking to invoice your clients is PayPal. I know that's not anything new that you guys know what PayPal is. They have a great business version where it makes it super easy to create invoices and send them to clients using their email address. Once you have a few clients, I would recommend moving over to a management system. We use HoneyBook and we love it so much. I've been using HoneyBook since the very beginning. I found that it was super easy because I'm able to house our contracts in there. I can create client profiles. And then as the business grew, it allowed me to create automations. Somebody inquires on our website and it'll kick off an automation basically where it like sends them a hello email, asks them a little bit more information, and then it allows them to book a call. And then once they book the call, then we can send them a customized proposal. And then once the proposal's nailed down, we can send them their contract, which then triggers their invoice. And it just makes everything super easy and all in one place. And I also love that they have really great plugins for my desktop. So I can see like as things are moving through automations, it'll like send me little notifications on Google Chrome and it integrates with Gmail. And it's just awesome. It's super easy to use. It looks pretty on the user end, and we have just had an amazing experience with it. So if you are wanting to try out HoneyBook, I have a coupon code for them for 20% off your entire first year, and you can grab that by going to thevirtualassistantstudio.com/HoneyBook, and you can grab the coupon code there. I will also have all of these free resources mentioned in the show notes. So if you guys are looking for coupon codes or just want to review the list or anything like that, it will all be in the show notes over on thevirtualassistantstudio.com/podcast. So those are our main free tools that we use. Other tools that we use that are paid tools, this wasn't a question, but I feel like this makes sense to dive into this. We love Tailwind for Pinterest scheduling. We love Planoly for Instagram scheduling. We love Flowdesk for email marketing. We love Kajabi for hosting our courses and paid content. We love Canva for creating all of our gorgeous graphics in our business. We use Showit to host and customize our website. Oh, you know what? A free tool that I forgot to mention is Slack. We use this in order to communicate back and forth as a team. And it's amazing because it eliminates long text message threads and sending somebody a text when it's an inopportune time. It also makes it great because we can share videos and files and things that a lot of times we need in order to do our job. And it allows me to look back at a client's thread and see like, oh, this person's doing this and this person's doing this and everything's being handled and all is well, but it's all in one place. So it's really nice to keep things organized so that conversations don't get lost and the team can communicate, and it's just awesome. So we love, love, love Slack. And then that's pretty much it. I feel like there's probably one or two tools that I'm forgetting. So if you've heard me mention another one and I didn't mention it here, it's probably because I just can't remember. Okay, on to our next question. Did you always know you wanted to start your own business? Okay, so yes and no. to be honest, when I was in college, I was actually an international business major. And I sort of had this idea, and this probably came from watching too much television, that I was going to move to New York City and I was going to run a large fashion corporation. And I have no idea where this came from. Maybe it's from like The Devil Wears Prada or something like that. But that was my dream. And I wanted to go to school in New York. And I graduated top of my class. And on paper, I looked amazing. But I did not get into the school in New York that I wanted to get into. And I was devastated, which, thinking back, I don't really know how I thought I was going to do that. Like, where, how would I have paid for that? And where was I going to live? And I was, what, just going to like move to this city at 18 all by myself that I've never visited? Truly, like, the logic was not there. And I guess that just goes to show when you're 18, like, your brain's not like 100% fully formed. So, like, I feel like your decision making skills aren't the best. But that was what was going through my head. Anyways, I ended up going to a local university, which is a great school. There's nothing wrong with it. It just wasn't exactly what I had pictured in my head. I sort of had this picture in my head that I would run a major corporation. And it really wasn't until I got married and we had our first miscarriage that I really started to think that certainly there was more to life. And I know that sounds silly, but I feel like major life events do that to you. They make you think about things in a way that you probably wouldn't normally think about them. And I think I've shared this before, but I was searching for a point of connection and I actually stumbled across the Gold Digger podcast, and she had an episode explaining her own unique situation with her fertility journey and loss. But she was also talking about being a photographer and running an online business, and I had no idea this was even a thing. Social media wasn't what it was today. Like, Instagram was still very, very new at this point. So the thought of running an online business literally never even crossed my brainwaves. So no, to answer your question, I had no idea I wanted to own my own business until that point in my life. And still, I didn't quite know that I wanted to own my own business. I just knew I wanted to do something more creative. And I never thought that that would look like owning my own business. But as more time went on and I dove into the online world and the education space and personal development, I quickly realized that I had a passion and a calling for this, and it really lined up with my personal unique skill set so seamlessly. And I had realized that my whole life, I felt like, had been preparing me to do this with the different skills and situations and life events that have occurred. So I feel like it was just meant to be. And I feel like every person has those days where you're like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? But still, even in those moments, I would never trade it for anything. So I hope that answers your question. No, I did not know that I wanted to own my own business, but I'm so thankful that I do now. Okay, our last question in the business category, and then I'm going to take a quick water break, is, oh, this is another good one. Where do you see the virtual assistant studio going in the future? I'm going to be honest, I see it going in a couple different directions, and I almost want to be careful as to not put the business in a box, because I feel like, not that I don't want to set goals for the business, because I do have some big goals for us for next year. However, I think sometimes when we're so focused on meeting one goal that we can sometimes forget to look up at the opportunities that are around us and really let what's supposed to happen happen. So I'm trying to leave it a little open-ended. However, I definitely see us growing. I would love to have a larger team. I would love to be able to hopefully have some in-person people. Even though we love being remote and virtual, I still want to be able to give my employees that opportunity. But I think it would be really awesome to have some people on the team that are local that I can meet with in person. And we can do strategy sessions and stuff like that. And it doesn't necessarily look like going into the office every single day. I really want them to have that flexibility. But I think it would be really cool to be able to have some semblance of a local team. I'm also excited about possibly being able to do our first in-person meeting at the end of next year. And I think that's going to be really fun because the party planner is going to come out in me and I'm going to be able to make it just exciting. So hopefully we'll be able to fly everybody to Atlanta and just really get to know each other and hang out and bond and have a wonderful time. And it'll be a really good way for me to say thank you to them for all the amazing hard work that they do. So I'm excited for that. I also see us growing in our online courses and our offerings. So I have some ideas in that department that you guys are probably going to see rolling out in 2022 as far as what our products go. Right now, we just have our signature product, which is the Virtual Assistant Studio course. And we teach moms how to build their own profitable virtual assistant business. But long term, this is just me dreaming. I see us having some physical products, so some fun sweatshirts and coffee mugs and planners and pens and things like that to sort of brighten your work from home day. I feel like that would just be a really fun way to sort of extend our brand but also still serve our community. So if you guys are interested in that, let me know. Maybe I can make that happen next year, sooner than later. And then also I'm excited to see the podcast grow. So we have some really fun guests that we are going to have on in the new year. I'm excited to be able to introduce you to some of the people in my community. I think you guys are really going to enjoy their interviews and their expertise and what they have to say. And yeah, I mean, I really think that we have big things in store for us. And I think as a brand and as a company, I'm excited to be able to create a culture where people are excited about what they do and proud to be able to say that they work for our company. And I think it's really cool to be able to work with a team of all women and be able to support women and be able to do that while living a well-balanced life has always been my mission from the beginning and will continue to be our mission as we grow. Excited to see where it goes. What a great question to end the business segment. Next, we're going to chat all about personal questions. Are you ready to ditch the 9-to-5 and start making actual money online? Do you dream about being able to have freedom in the middle of the day, set your own schedule, and never have to sacrifice time with your family? Me too, friend. Here's the thing. I used to be exactly where you are now. I went through countless courses, Facebook groups, and free online resources trying to figure out this whole online thing. Until one day it all clicked, and within 4 weeks, I had built out my virtual assistant business with no social media and, get this, no website. I quit my job and I never looked back. Now I'm teaching you to do the same. If you're ready to build your very own profitable virtual assistant business so that you can make full-time income during nap time, head on over to thevirtualassistantstudio.com/course to learn more.
Okay, diving into the personal questions, which I have a feeling you guys have all been waiting for. We're kicking off our first question with one that's super sweet. It's funny because I got this one a few times from family members. But the question is, do you have a name picked out for baby number 2 yet? And just a little backstory for you guys. So when we had Beckham 2 years ago, we actually went through IVF in order to conceive him. And part of the process of going through IVF, you have the option to do genetic testing prior to implantation of the embryos. And we did decide to do the full genetic testing only because we struggled so much leading up to that point that we wanted to make sure that we were giving ourselves the best possible chance so that they were only transferring healthy embryos. And within that genetic testing, they can tell the gender of the baby, and it's completely optional as to whether you want to know the gender and whether you want to choose which gender you transfer. For us personally, we made the decision to transfer whichever embryo was the healthiest. And for us, that happened to be a boy, which we didn't know about. So anyways, the whole process, what you didn't really get that exciting, I guess, moment that people sort of think about when they think about a pregnancy of like, oh my gosh, I'm pregnant, with the test and then telling your significant other like, I'm pregnant, and then finding out like a gender reveal and doing like a party. And we didn't have any of those traditional things with him, which it made me a little sad at first. But at the end of the day, we were just so excited to be able to have the opportunity to be parents that we didn't really care at all. So one thing that we did is we did have a name picked out for Beckham, and we knew what it was going to be. We were like 99.9% sure we knew what it was going to be, but we did not announce it. And that was sort of like our way of creating a fun surprise for the family. So once he was born, we decided, yes, that's the name we are going to go with. And his name is Beckham Rush Holmes. His middle name is actually my maiden name. And then obviously he has the same last name as me and my husband. So we are keeping with that tradition for baby number two. And to be completely honest, I have been going back and forth on the name for months now, and I have not officially committed to a name, which is part of the reason why we haven't announced it. It's because as soon as I'm like, yep, that's his name, then the next day I'm like, but is it? And I think it's probably because we were so sure with Beckham. And we knew like, okay, this is our boy name. This is what we're doing. But now that we're having another boy, it makes it a little bit more challenging. So we're still kind of figuring that out. I do have a couple of top contenders, but I don't think I'm going to say them and speak them into existence just yet. So it'll give you guys something to look forward to when he's here. Okay, this next question is, you've been really open about your miscarriages and losses. Did you have any fear around, quote unquote, trying for a second one? Yes, to be completely honest. I think any time you've experienced either infertility or a loss, there's so much fear around the whole entire process, because you know what the different outcomes can be, basically. And I think most people don't have to go through that, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody, so I'm glad that most people don't have to go through that. But when you've never gone through that, you don't really think about it as being an option. At least I know I didn't. When the very first time when we found out we were pregnant, it literally never crossed my mind that I was going to possibly lose this baby and our outcome would look completely different. Once you do go through that process, I think it's totally natural to have fear around, quote unquote, trying again, or what, no matter what that looks like, whether that looks like IVF or IUI or conceiving naturally, whatever. And for us, especially because we have a history of miscarriages, and we have what's called recurrent miscarriages, which meant you had more than three consecutive losses. And then we finally decided to do IVF with Beckham. There's just so many factors and decisions that you have to consider when thinking about possibly having a second child, which is crazy. And for us, we were just so thankful to even have Beckham that truthfully, if that was the only kid that we were ever going to be blessed with, we were 100% happy with that because we had waited so long to get to him. So it did weigh heavy on our hearts when we started to think about possibly growing our family. And it's part of the reason why we waited. And it's part of the reason why we also just decided to go for it at the same time, because we're like, well, we don't know how long this is going to take. We don't know what the process is going to look like. You just don't know. But obviously, so glad that we decided to go for it. Our next question is, how do you balance mom life and running an online business? I want to narrow in on that word balance. I kind of want to just throw it out the window, because as much as I strive to have balance in my life of mom life and running a business and doing all the things. I truthfully don't think there's any such thing as true balance. I think it's really just striving for what you want your life to look like and what feels comfortable for you. And for me personally, that looks like showing up and being present for my son as much as possible. And that looks like waking him up in the mornings and putting him to bed at night and doing bath time and books and spending one-on-one time with him that way and taking him to go do fun things on the weekends, like go to the park or the swimming pool in the summer or whatever. But at the same time, I understand that sometimes there are seasons of busy periods, and they're just that, they're seasons within the business where I might have to work an extra hour, or I have to crack open the laptop while he's napping or after he goes to bed. And I'm totally okay with that because those types of things light me up as a person. So I don't mind doing them. So I think balance is really knowing what your limits are and what you're comfortable with. And if it doesn't feel in alignment for you, then making the necessary adjustments. This next question is, do you ever get burnt out? This is such a good question. So I think, yeah, I mean, doesn't everybody? And that's usually a good sign too, that I need to take a break and go do something fun, go for a walk, get some exercise, like go grab a coffee, whatever that looks like, and then come back to whatever I'm doing. Okay, we're sort of rounding out the personal section. This last question that we have is, do you ever get lonely working from home? Oh my gosh, it's bittersweet working from home because I literally dreamed about working from home for years. I remember like decorating an office before I even owned a business, which is so funny in hindsight. But I was like, I'm going to work in here one day. And it's funny how when you manifest something, a lot of times it does end up coming true. So sometimes I do miss getting up and going to work. And I think not necessarily like the job, but I genuinely liked the people that I worked with at my corporate job. And it was fun to have like those small connections on a daily basis. But at the same time, for me personally, I have always been one of those people that is totally okay with hanging out with themselves. And I enjoy silence. And I enjoy doing things like this where I'm talking into a microphone in the closet. And I think one thing that I have noticed is it makes that time with family and friends that much sweeter, because I'm not constantly talking all day long, which can sometimes be draining for my personality type. So sometimes I'm like, yes, it would be fun to have somebody to chit-chat next to. But I would say 99% of the time, no, I don't get lonely. I genuinely like love making my coffee in the morning and sitting down at my desk and cranking out work. And I am talking to people. It's just virtually or through voice text or on a phone call or something like that, or Zoom or whatever. So I still feel like I get that point of connection. It's not like I'm totally isolated. But I will say one of my goals for the new year is to find other like-minded entrepreneurs in my area that I can connect with in person. I really want to join a mastermind or something along those lines where it's somebody else that's in this space that really understands what it is that I'm doing. And as much as I love my friends and family, sometimes I like talk about things with them and they are so supportive and I'm so thankful for that. But at the same time, they don't really understand like the back end of the online business world and what goes into it and the day-to-day stuff. So I think it would just be really helpful for me and my mental health, but also for the business too, to have somebody I can just like chat through things with and who's also a mom and maybe like in the same age group as me or something like that, that I can also bounce ideas off of and stuff too. So that is one of my goals for the new year, is to find some entrepreneurial friends. Okay, this is our last question, and then we're going to go into the rapid fire questions. Oh, this is a funny one. Okay, what was your most recent purchase? Okay, well, it is Christmas time. So the last thing that I bought was a Target run. And I spent way too much money because I was getting all this like random like candy and stocking stuffers and just all kinds of stuff that I probably didn't need. But I did just buy, if we're doing an online purchase, your guys are going to laugh. So Joshua and I, we used to like be kind of like foodies before we had kids. And one of our favorite things was to go and try new restaurants all around Atlanta. Atlanta has like awesome restaurants all over the place and like really cool little pockets and neighborhoods everywhere where if you're like looking to kill a Saturday, you could go to like one of these neighborhoods and walk around and check out like the shops and stuff. Anyways, I digress. There is this one breakfast restaurant that we love. We would go back to all the time. And they had this, it was like this ginormous sandwich, but it was a breakfast sandwich with like egg and lettuce and bacon. And they used to have this bacon jam on there. And to this day, we still talk about this bacon jam. And we've been on the hunt for it so that we could recreate these sandwiches. And we found some from a local shop owner that sells it on Amazon. So the last thing that I bought was a jar of bacon jam from Amazon. So I will have to keep you guys posted on how it turns out and if it's good or not. Okay, we're going to dive into the rapid fire questions. There are four questions that I had the team type up for me and I'm just going to fire away. Okay, what am I currently watching? Well, I have been rewatching Gilmore Girls on Netflix for probably like the 1,000th time. I did just watch a really cute, one of those like cheesy Christmas movies on Netflix. I think it was called Single All the Way. I hope that's the right name. Josh and I both really liked it. So if you're looking for a good cheesy Christmas movie, we recommend that one. 5 stars for sure. What am I currently craving? Pregnancy-wise, I haven't had a whole lot of cravings, but I have been into pickles, and that's kind of weird. Lately, I've been craving, you guys are going to laugh, like those, like the peppermint mochas and like the Christmassy drinks at Starbucks. I've been into those lately. And you can get them decaf, which is cool for pregnancy. And not a lot of people know that, but you can get just about anything at Starbucks decaf. So that's a win if you are also pregnant. Currently listening to, well, I did just buy the new Taylor Swift album, Red, which is like Taylor's version. So I've been listening to that. And on audio, I just bought the book Big Magic, which I'm excited to dive into this week. And I'll keep you guys posted on how that is. And I guess that answers the next question, which is, what are you currently reading? So I talked about this in a previous episode. I am not currently reading like a physical book, but I am listening to the audiobooks, and I just bought Big Magic and I am diving into that today. So I will keep you guys posted on how that goes. I hope you guys enjoyed this Ask Me Anything episode. It's definitely been a long one. So if you made it to the end, thank you so much for sticking around. This has been so fun, and I'm really excited to do this again. If you guys didn't get a chance to submit your questions but want to submit them, you can shoot me a DM over on Instagram at The Bold Business Podcast, or you can send our podcast manager, Lauren, an email at podcast@thevirtualassistantstudio.com. Until next time, guys. Thank you so much, and we'll chat soon.
I'm over here doing a little happy dance because you just finished another episode of the Bold Business Podcast. Is it just me, or was that filled to the brim with juicy goodness? If you're anything like me and are wanting even more business, marketing, and strategy tips coupled with real life, follow along with us over on Instagram at The Bold Business Podcast. And be sure to check out the show notes for any free resources, links mentioned, or coupon codes and more. And if you loved this episode, please do me a favor and go ahead and tap that subscribe button and leave us a review. Until next time, and remember, let's be bold together.